We're all trying to be more sustainable at home by recycling, composting if we can, and maybe buying less. Writer Akanksha Agarwal looked at what Pittsburgh restaurants are doing to be more sustainable and the challenges they face for a story on our website. And she's here now to talk about what she learned. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
How did you come upon this story? What made you want to start reporting it?
I've increasingly been interested in food waste and, you know, sustainability in general. But I realized that most diners only see the visible parts of it. It could be compostable containers, maybe notes about local sourcing that restaurants have in their menu. Maybe they see the recycling bins. I became curious about what the larger story is, you know, what sustainability actually looks like behind the kitchen doors, you know, behind the bar counters. And once I started talking to restaurant owners, I realized this wasn't really a story about composting. It was a story about the different systems in place, or the lack of those systems in place. All those invisible decisions restaurants make every single day while trying to run a business, right? It's already a difficult business, and then you're making all of these different decisions and the system is kind of stacked against you. So I really wanted to shed some light on that.
What are some of the ways that restaurants are working on sustainability?
A lot of it is, of course, sourcing locally. And their definition of sustainability is really broad. People are trying to do a lot of different things within the different constraints that they have. It's not just recycling, it's not just composting, it's sourcing locally wherever they can, right? They're reducing packaging, they're reusing ingredients again and again and again before they finally become waste.
What's an example of that?
Take Apteka. They are turning apple scraps into syrups and then repurposing tomato solids before they ever become compost, right?
Apteka is an Eastern European restaurant in Pittsburgh.
At Tina's, Sarah Schaefer starts by asking actually what needs to enter the building in the first place. If it never comes in, then it can never even become waste. So if you don't bring in waste, you don't have to manage the waste later. So it's a lot of thinking differently, thinking intentionally, and even thinking about how buildings themselves shape waste streams.
That was an interesting idea in your story. I hadn't really thought about that. I live in an old home, but I hadn't really thought about how restaurants, a lot of restaurants are in buildings that are not necessarily the best shape or size for composting.
A lot of times it's a walk up, right? That you have to come down to in terms of like lugging things up and down. Then a lot of times, you know, behind the actual kitchen, it's just really narrow spaces where people have to manage their trash recycling and their diversion programs. So it's just mostly the physical space that we are talking about.
You mentioned composting and recycling. Say a little bit about the kinds of services restaurants require and if those are working for them.
The biggest challenges I heard repeatedly from people was time. The biggest issue they faced was like time management, and this is already a really time-intensive business to begin with, a really labor-intensive business. So restaurant owners are already managing labor shortages, rising food costs, energy costs, and really thin margins. And then sustainability often requires additional sorting, additional partnerships, and, you know, more logistics to take care of. So a lot of the restaurant owners want to do more, but they describe sustainability as something that has to fit within the realities of running, you know, everyday dinner service. For example, at Apteka, Kate Lasky had a line that really, really stuck with me. She said, before something becomes compost, you know, I just gave that example of apple scraps and tomato solids, they always try to give it another life, maybe even multiple lives. But then she added that all of this takes time, and time is really precious. So to coming back to your question about systems that restaurants require, there are not many of these systems in place. The knowledge about this is not too readily available. For example, Pittsburgh does not have three bins when it comes to compost, recycling, and trash, right? So restaurant owners often have to manage the compost bit themselves. And a lot of the restaurant owners said that it would be really nice if they could be incentivized in some ways, right? Even with like tax breaks or some sort of incentive would be really nice for them to do this really hard work.
You also talked with the owner of a brewery. Talk a little bit about how they manage sustainability. It's a little bit different.
So that was a really interesting conversation, in and of itself. Nick Salkett at Stick City Brewing had a really interesting perspective because breweries have their own waste streams. And one of the biggest is spent grain management. Spent grain is basically what's left after brewing beer. And at Stick City, that grain goes back to farms as animal feed instead of entering the waste stream. So that's really interesting that their biggest byproduct just goes back to feed animals at the farms that they work with. And Nick also talked, very openly about operating in a lean way, right? Minimizing paper products, avoiding unnecessary bags to begin with, and becoming very conscious about what enters and leaves the business, just like Sarah Schaefer had said. But what I found super interesting was that he connected sustainability directly to outdoor recreation and conservation. So he connects it, he finds it that people would be really motivated to be more sustainable if they can feel connected to their environment. If they take a walk around nature, see a stream, go on a hike, and they feel connected to their surroundings. So Nick connected beer to people hiking, biking, spending time outdoors. So environmental stewardship in a way becomes a part of the brewery's identity. And by and large, he wants it to be a part of the consumer's identity.
How does this effort towards sustainability translate into the customer experience? Does it cost more for customers?
So in many cases, customers don't actually see most of it because a lot of sustainability happens in back of house systems. The composting, purchasing decisions, food rescue partnerships. It is also a part of supplier relationships. That's one reason Sarah Schaefer at Tina's actually encourages diners and customers to actually ask restaurants about what they're doing, right? So that consumers can become a part of this conversation. As for cost, it's a little bit complicated because some sustainable practices can cost more upfront. For example, composting programs, they aren't always cheap. But many owners report a long-term benefit. And they also describe sustainability as a way to reduce waste and improve efficiency, improve systems to begin with. So if you're throwing less away, that's good environmentally, but it's also good business because you're getting maximum bang for your buck. In a way, you're just reducing a wastage of money.
Did anything surprise you in the reporting of this story as a writer and as an eater?
First, I was very surprised by how often sustainability came down to economics rather than ideology. This could be somebody wanting to do things really sustainably and it being cost prohibitive for them, just being really expensive for them, expensive in terms of time, expensive in terms of money as well. And the other part of it is also when it comes to maybe economies of scale, some owners also reported that, just reducing waste also makes financial sense. A lot of it comes down to how big or small the business itself is. Small businesses sometimes have more trouble paying those costs upfront to establish those systems. And also, secondly, I was really surprised about how much uncertainty still exists around infrastructure, even with owners and operators who've been doing this work for years and years. They still talk about how difficult it is to navigate composting, recycling, and waste systems. There wasn't a sense that there's like one clear roadmap. As an eater, it definitely made me think differently about restaurants, right? Because we tend to evaluate restaurants based on what arrives on the plate. How good is the food? What is the value I'm getting as a consumer in terms of money? But there are all these invisible systems behind the scenes that are also shaping the environmental footprint of your meal, long before it's reaching your table.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me and thanks for the story.
Thank you so much.
Akanksha Agarwal is a wine, travel, and lifestyle writer, and you can read her full story at AlleghenyFront.org.